Radio City Talk. Good morning. I'm Steve Hothersall, and we have a couple of guests in the studio who are going to talk us through what has been an extremely testing time for themselves and their family. But also, they hope we'll have an incredibly positive outcome at the end of all this as well. Now, if you're a Liverpool fan, maybe if you're not a Liverpool fan as well, you might have seen the story of a flag that went up in the Kop. A picture of a dad with a boy from the back walking to the game together. And it was put together by Spy on Kop. And they did it after hearing of the story of young Owen McVeigh. Well, Owen's dad is in the studio, Mark, with us this morning. Morning to you, Mark.
Morning.
Mark as well, joined by his wife, Joanne. Joanne's going to stay silent throughout the course of all this. Mark will do the talking. But Owen's story is a remarkable one. He would have been 12 years old. But just tell us about Owen and what happened to the family in such a short space of time, Mark.
Well, it was all really sudden, really. Owen was... Well, he was taken to Alderley Hospital by ourselves on, I think, the Friday night. He was suffering with some headaches. Previous week, he'd had been diagnosed with a chest infection. It was just headaches. So we took him up there, and very suddenly we found out it was much more than that. He was diagnosed with leukaemia on the Friday, and unfortunately, Owen passed away on the Monday.
Young boy, absolutely vivacious young boy. We've been talking about him off air. Just tell us about Owen's characteristics and why he was so besotted with football, besotted with having fun.
Yeah, well, he was besotted with life. Owen's biggest trait was his heart. He had massive, massive heart. The story, heart as big as Liverpool, that summed him up, really. Everything he did, he'd done 100%. He wasn't great at everything, but everything he did, he'd done 100%. Very loving child. Never enough hours in the day for him. Always chasing a dream. Obviously, we miss him a lot.
What were his loves in life?
Oof, Liverpool Football Club, to say the least, and a holiday. We used to say he loved a holiday. Judith Chalmers, we'd call him.
What was it about Liverpool and the football that had grabbed him? Because 12, but actually. Been going to the game with you as a mad red for quite a few years.
Yeah, I think his first game was against Atletico Madrid. I'm certain of it. I think we've got video footage of it as well.
Wow, 2010. Is that 10?
It wasn't a proper game. It was a friendly, I think.
Ah, right. It's not the cup semi-final.
No.
Right, okay.
No, it was a friendly. The footage that my brother put together, I've looked and seen, because there's a video with him, and he's at the front of the Kop. With his scarf out, facing the Kop, and he thinks they're singing to him. And it's a really good video. And I think his first proper game was Havanton-Waterlooville in the FA Cup. That was his first proper game.
That was a scare.
Yeah, it was. And I don't think he's missed a game since then. At Anfield. And he's been to a fair few away games as well. He used to collect away games, he used to say. Wait a minute, you know, he wanted to go to Villa Park, he wanted to go to Selhurst Park. Mm. But they were the best times. The best times were always the away games.
Did you have the same relationship with your dad in terms of going to the football?
No, not necessarily. It was with my granddad, really. Not with my dad. Probably more into music, like the rest of my brothers. But me was football, and obviously I'd spend hours and hours at Melwood. It was John Barnes, Ronnie Wheeler and Ian Rush. And in fact, he used to let me in. When I was a kid, and I used to sit down with them when they were injured. And it grew from there, and obviously it rubbed off on Owen.
So Owen, from a very young age, had seen you going to the game, wanted to get involved himself. Were you two almost like a little pair, were you?
Yeah, double act.
I can almost sense that. I don't know why.
Yeah. And obviously, it's hard for me now when he's not there, but, we really enjoyed them times. And as I say, the away games more so, because even if we were on a coach for 4 hours... We got 4 hours together before we got there. The iPad had come out. It'd be games. Dad, you know, what team's this? It was always quizzes on football. And then we'd get there and he'd watch the game. Inevitably, while he's been around, wouldn't normally be a good result. And then we'd be okay, laugh about it on the way home and be looking to plan the next one after that.
Were there any other dads with boys as young as Owen who were going to the game as regularly as you two?
Yeah. There was my best friend, again, who I've gone with since maybe I was 12, 13. is Peter Lynch, and his young son Jack Lynch, and there's just 1 year's difference between them. So the four of us would go together, and we'd take Peter's dad, Billy, who's in his 70s, I think. Yeah, and Billy and Peter and Jack still go as well now to this day, yeah.
I love the description you give him of him, and you said to me he loved coming up this tower as well. Yeah, been up here 3 times,
yeah.
Always pressurising you to come and have a look at the view.
Yeah.
What was it about the Radio City Tower that really grabbed Owen's attention?
I don't know. It may be the view, but he was always just wanting to do something. He couldn't walk past anywhere unless he wanted to do it. So, again, like I said, he'd always be chasing something. So we'd come out of here, then it'd be the museum, then it'd be the Albert Dock, then inevitably it'd be Liverpool Club Shop. And he'd be in there for an hour. Could be anything.
You said he fell ill.
Yeah.
It wasn't long ago.
No.
I mean, we are talking just over a month ago. It's been a dramatic turn of events and so quickly.
December,
2 months?
Yeah, 2 months. December the 7th, I think he passed away.
Oh, so apologies.
No worries.
So 2 months and still very, very fresh to you. And obviously you didn't understand at the time that he had this rare form of leukemia. You went into the hospital, like any mum and dad would with a child that's got a sickness.
Yeah.
And at first, we're given a diagnosis of something that you thought was just maybe run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, I think it was sinusitis at first. But everything was just so fast. You know, even had a chance to even think back there. We are due to go back into Alderay in a couple of weeks, which you're going to sit down with Mark Caswell, who was brilliant, brilliant. And we can sit down and talk through things and maybe, you know, reflect and see how things went. But yeah, we just thought he was literally, you know, normal run-of-the-mill illness and he had some headaches. But the thing with Owen was he never complained about anything. So when he did complain, you took notice. So we went and obviously it led from there to him being diagnosed with leukemia, which was obviously a shock to the system. My first problem was really telling him that he was going to lose his hair. That's what I was worried about because he was so proud of his hair, always spiking it up, sticking it up all different ways. So that was my initial first worry. Obviously, that was something I really didn't need to worry about, which I'd later find out.
But sometimes you expect with a diagnosis such as leukemia that, you know, there'll be a lot of time ahead of you to plan things, to fight things, to give yourself some hope.
Yeah, well, to be fair, even though it was only 3 days, me and Joanne, we lie awake in bed there in Alderay because we stayed and we talked about that. We talked about, you know, we were going to have to give our lives, which was not a problem. We were always going to do that. And maybe Joanne was going to have to leave work or, you know, we talked about all the scenarios, but we were just going to have to be there for him. And obviously that wasn't to be. And that was mainly one of the reasons why we wanted to jump into the foundation and help.
How brave was he in those 3 days?
He was always brave.
You said he wasn't given a chance to fight, sort of thing. But he had the personality that was of a fighter.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he was. He was tough. He was tough, but he was also very quiet. He would listen, Owen, more and just take a backward step. Once you were his friend, you were his friend for life. But he was a quiet kid. But he was also very witty, very some good one-liners. He could shoot you down even if you were an adult, no problem. But he'd learn that in the environment that I took him anyway. You know, he had a little edge. You know, he'd help out making teas and coffees on the coach, going whatever it would be, Owen would do anything to make a couple of quid, really. That was his nature. You know, it was his nature.
I've got a lovely picture of him here. He's got such a kind face. And he's lying on his bed and his bedroom's obviously decked out with Liverpool stuff. I'd imagine the duvet with the You'll Never Walk Alone. Mm-hmm. And this proud skirtle shirt that he's got in front of him. Tell us about the shirt and what he wanted so much with it. Skirtle was his idol, yeah?
Yeah, well, he was after that, if you're going to be honest. He loved them all. But I think it was Valentine's Day, we played Crystal Palace in the Cup and I took him down. I didn't really want to go because it was a big, long journey. But he kept going on about it. And I said, it's Valentine's Day, your mum won't want to go. And he okayed it with her behind me back. And he organised the tickets through me mate and got them sorted. So I took him because I realised he really wanted to go.
He's canny, isn't he?
Yeah, he was that type. And then obviously we ended up with front row seats and Martin came over at the end of the game and gave it to him. And it was late. I remember it was really late. Obviously, always is coming back from London, but he wouldn't sleep. He just kept smelling it and going, look, smell this. And it was full of, what's the smell? It's like Vicks. Vicks all over it, yeah.
Menthol.
Yeah. And then when we got home, he went to sleep in his bed, and I went in to see he was okay, and he was out, and he had the shirt next to him, lied right next to him. So I took a photograph of him, and I posted it on Twitter and said, this is what football's all about. And it just went on from there. When he got up in the morning and I told him I took a picture, he went berserk because he didn't like that. And I said to him, no, look, it's nice, you know. And then he used to be one of them, how many likes do I have? How many likes do I have? So all of a sudden, the phone was going berserk. It was like getting tweeted and liked. I didn't really know what I was doing. And then he was okay with it then when the Echo got in touch and he wanted to do an interview. And he was dead nervous. But I said to him, no, come on, you'll be okay. I think the photographer came round. I think his name was James. And he was lovely. He spent a little bit of time with him. And then he was just dead proud then, because when he'd go to the game, everyone would go, where's that kid who got the Skittles shirt? And he'd have the chest out, because we used to call him Peacock Chest, because he always had it out.
Proud.
Oh, yeah, proud. And so it brought out some confidence in him. So he became a little bit of a mini celeb around in his school and that for doing it. And then obviously it went on from there, with all the shots you've seen of him in the shirt, you know.
When he was poorly in hospital,
yeah,
and you heard that the players might be coming, and his one big thing was, he passed away on the Sunday, is that right?
I think it was the Monday.
Monday, but the players were coming the day after. But his one big thing was he wanted to see the players and get this shirt signed at the time.
He'd heard other kids talking about them coming in. So he said to me, you know, the players are coming in on Tuesday. And I thought, how does he know that? And then he said, will you bring me Skittles shirt in? Which obviously I did. But unfortunately, you know, he passed away on the Monday. And then I felt that I at least owed him it to go up to Melwood to get it sorted. He'd been previously himself 4 or 5 times to see him, but he just kept missing him all the time because Owen School's attached. St. Paul's is right next to Melwood. So he'd come on his way home. But I made sure I took it up for him, and I gave it to Kenny, the gate man, and he sorted it out for me there and then. And after that, Martin sent us a lovely letter. And then the coach driver got in touch with us last week and said, Martin's got another shirt there for you, and is there anything he can do? So he's been lovely, to be fair.
What was the feeling like from the Liverpool family after all this unfolding, and obviously the quick illness, and you lost Owen, and there's that terrible period of grieving, which is still going on.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, Owen's story was taken to the heart of everyone within Liverpool Football Club. And obviously there's some real heroes within Spion Kop 1906 that all of a sudden contacted you to create a massive flag.
Yeah, how it came about, we were playing Man United, and I must admit, I was a little bit lost. I was standing up there on my own, and I thought, I don't need to be here today.
You still went to the game on your own?
I went to the game,
For him, sort of thing?
Yeah, I felt like he would want me to. I really didn't want to, and I was stood there, and I thought, I don't need to be here today. And the boys were putting the flags out. Now, I didn't know anybody from Spion Kop, but on my phone coming back from away games, Owen used to show me this particular boy called Adam Cairns. Well, boy, he's a man. And he'd say, look, Dad, he's here there. They're in Germany, or they're doing this and they're doing that. And I say, oh, yeah. And the only reason I knew his name was because he used to tell me that. So as I was going down, Adam was setting out the flags, and I said to him, you know, your name's Adam, isn't it? And he said, yeah. And I said, tell you a little bit about Owen, because one of the other lads, Phil, used to give Owen the flag to wave before the game, further up in the middle of the cot where I sit. And I explained that to Adam, and he was really busy at the time because he was putting out all the flags, as them lads do every game. And he gave me his number, and he said, contact me a bit later on. And my initial approach was, I'd like to fund the flag. We've been given some money and donated to us from Owen's funeral. And I'd like to donate some money to pay for the flag that I know personally will be there, that I know Owen put there, because I know that's what he would have wanted. And when I got home, and I texted him and I said, what do you think? He said, well, what are you thinking? Do you want to put a player up there? I said, no, that isn't where I'm at. I don't want to do anything like that. And he said, well, what are you thinking? I said, well, leave it with me. And Joanne's sister was in that house, and she's quite good at art. And I said, draw this for me. It just come. I said, draw this. And she drew that picture. And I thought, off to the match we go, which is obviously one of our songs. And it was personal, but I just had the man and then the little boy. And I put an 11 on his back, just a pencil drawn, and I sent it to Adam. The next morning, about 7:30 in the morning, he gets back to me with a proper coloured image, and it had a 12 on the back. So I spoke to him. I said, what? He said, we're wondering what the emphasis of the 11 is. I said, well, he was 11. I said, but he's due to be 12 on the 31st of January. Why have you put a 12 on his back? Because that's the substitute. And he said, well, we want him to be the 12th man. And that got me. That I was upset, but it was nice. And then he said, we want to make it more personal than that. We want to put his name on the back. And it was only when I really thought about it in the cop and the flags, it was like Dalglish and Shankly and Paisley. And there was no reference to anybody mortal, really. And then Owen's name, I thought, what a touch, what a gesture. And again, I didn't really know how big the flag was. I just said, yeah, that's nice. And then he said he wanted to run with it for the Crystal Palace game, but it was only 3 days to that game, the semi-final. And I thought, well, I didn't want to put any pressure on him. So I said, well, don't worry. If it's the next game, it's his birthday against West Ham. And he'd be 12 anyway that day. He said, well, do you want to leave it for then? And I said, no. I said, I'd like it to be then, but I don't want you put you under any pressure. In the meantime, me and Joanne wanted to get away for a bit because the emotion was getting a little bit much. And then obviously a couple of posts appeared with the flag. And then people started tweeting. And then we were hearing that there was going to be a minute's applause. And we were thinking, no, that won't happen. That doesn't happen on the 12th minute. And we were away. And we found this little tiny shack. And the two of us just sat there and watched it. And it was just blew us away.
How did you both react to it?
There was tears. There was tears.
Happy tears in a...
Proud.
That's proud, a
because we always have got to think how he would want. And he would have been so proud. And I can't thank Adam Cairns enough for that, because Spine Cop did it, but that one lad took it to a whole new level. And I never knew him. I'd be like a friend for life now. But the emotion it brought to the family, and even the healing, it helps. It helps us deflect from some things and talk about the positive things. Look what this flag's done. You know, what it does for the family. And, you know, we're split down the middle. We're half red and we're half blue. And his granddad, you know, so proud as well, who's a blue. And it's just really lovely to see. And especially from people you didn't know. And they're the true people at Liverpool Football Club who stand on that car.
This is Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
It's the most poignant flag you see there now.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's the dad, it's you.
Yeah.
Well, and it's Owen as the young son. Yeah. Well, when you look at the flag, is that the first thing that comes to your mind straight away?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is us too. And we're sort of immortalised within its favourite place.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And even at Wembley yesterday, I was filling up. I was watching it, and I couldn't believe that the FA allowed us to take it in. And not only that they put it where they put it, and with the You'll Never Walk Alone. And yeah, it is very, very personal, but it also, you know, it means a lot to everybody connected to Liverpool Football Club. And not only that, Everton too. They've been wonderful, all the Everton fans who are friends of mine and that. So it's just what football's about, really. Family.
Who takes that flag to the game now?
Spine Cop. I believe it stays in the cop.
So it stays there when the matches aren't on.
Yeah.
Same place.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere where the flags go. I believe it stays in the cop. And then obviously it travelled yesterday. Adam would have normally took it, but he's been ill. Missed the game. He was in Germany against Augsburg on the Thursday, and he come back ill, and he actually missed the final. So Ian took over and done a great job. They took it up there. They had it on Wembley Way.
It's massive as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think people realise how big it is till they actually get close to it. You know, it really is big.
I mean, it's that. What would Owen make of this himself?
That just makes me smile, because it's just pride.
Did he used to point to the flags?
He used to wave them on the cop. He used to ask me, will I go and ask, because he was a bit shy. And I used to say, no, you've got to ask yourself if you want to do it. Because he used to want to, like, bring him out of his shell. And he would. And then he obviously was their mini version of the Spine Cop 1906. He used to wave them for them. So that's why it's just so fitting and right that them lads made it and them lads wave it.
It's touched everyone in Liverpool, and the story has, you know, just grown strength to strength, because the flag represents something. It represents the football family.
Yeah.
It represents hope for the future. You as an individual family as well. And of course, your hopes from this point onwards are to create a foundation, which you've already done. Yeah. You've got the name, which is the...
Owen McVeigh Foundation.
Absolutely. And the purpose of this foundation?
Well, the purpose is we're trying to enrich children's lives in the local area. And we could source them from different places. One main one being Alderay, which is quite close to our heart. It's where Joanne works. It's where Owen was, obviously. It's closest to us. We live a mile from it. Obviously, we can help children on oncology, but it doesn't necessarily only have to be that. It can be in a whole list of ways. And I'm sure Owen will bring them to us, which people, you know, we will select and help. It'll be there for us to see.
So many families in need
yeah.
of help, and you're at a very early stage
yes.
with this. I mean, there's all those ideas going yeah. around your head.
Yeah.
You're still in a grieving process.
Yes.
But actually, in many ways, I would presume you want to be
yeah.
doing this. This is your purpose
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, well, it helps in many ways. It keeps Owen alive for us, and everyone knows about who he is. And then ultimately, we can help other children through Owen, which was the whole point to us. Early doors, we wanted to be involved with CHICS, which is a children's charity-based organisation in Alderay, run by Hedy Hinks. And the Alder Centre, which is a family bereavement counselling that me and Joanne actually attend ourselves. We've been getting looked after by a guy called John, who's been wonderful for us. So we want to help them two charities, but it was just that I felt I needed to do more for Owen. So we set up the foundation so it could be in his name that we helped these people. And we could select people. And it could be anything. It could be literally to take children out to the day in Croxteth Park, or they need, you know, you could take them to, you know, a concert in the Echo Arena. And even today, my brother has got in contact with quite a lot of places around Liverpool and Live Nation, who are all going to donate tickets to us on a regular basis, not just going to be a one-off, Liverpool Music Festival. So we'll be able to send these children with the parents to just enjoy a day out, amongst other things.
Do you feel Owen's guiding you?
100%. There's no doubt. That was reflected on Friday night. I took him to see Ed Sheeran in the summer at Wembley, and he wanted to stand on the pitch, wanted to go centre circle, so we did. And Rudimental came on, and they've all of a sudden became his favourite band. So we bought me and Joanne tickets to go and see Rudimental at Christmas, and they arrived, and we weren't in a place really to go on Saturday, but we decided we had to go for him. We go out onto the balcony and Rudimental come out with his T-shirt on, every one of them. Just unreal. How that happens, I do not know. It can only be him.
He's got a touch of the Ed Sheerans, hasn't he? I'm
yeah,
just looking
yeah,
at his cheeky
yeah.
little face there.
Yeah.
Look, in terms of the foundation and how it goes from here, I know at the moment you're already doing some fundraising.
Yes.
There's T-shirts
yeah.
that people can get hold of.
Yeah.
How do they do that? Because you're at Wembley. What sort of reception did you get outside Wembley from people who
well,
saw
it was
what
great,
you were doing?
But the sales were all done before Wembley, really. We went to see a company again through Adam and put us in touch called Wild Thang, based in Bootle,
yeah.
run by a guy called Andrew Dwerryhouse. Wonderful man. Sat down with us and we said, we want to order some T-shirts to produce for the family, really. And we wanted to order 100. That order of 100 that I ordered on the Wednesday, by the Friday turned into 1,700 because the response was unbelievable. By the Monday, it was 2,500. And just before coming here before, I just had to top up the order because
wow,
the demand went through the roof.
So what have you got a website where people can
yeah,
find out a bit more
yeah,
about this?
Yeah, again, another local man. And these people I did not know, just come and come to us to help. A local company, Michael, runs a company called Hat, Scarf or a Badge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely fabulous, yeah.
Fabulous. Man and wife decided they were going to take all our online sales on for us and look after it for us. Yeah, I've got to go to Michael's on the way home and drop off a couple of 100 T-shirts so we can send them out in the morning. And that was lovely. You know, he texted me and said, your first sale, I think it was Canada. And then it was Australia, Saudi Arabia, Norway. It just went on and on and on. And it just took off. So on Owen's foundation page we set up, within a week, he had 15,000 members. That is unprecedented, I'm told. And people were finding out through that. And what's lovely, if you can look at his foundation page, every time somebody got the shirt, they posted with themselves on it, with the children, again, which was important. They said, well, do you want to do children's T-shirts? I said, absolutely, in every size, because that's the whole point. It's about family. And it isn't just about football, it's about anything. But that Liverpool Football Club has driven it that way, and that's lovely.
And it's going worldwide, and the club themselves are getting involved in that and making sure that
you know
his story goes further.
Well, the club invited me and Joanna's guests on Thursday night at Augsburg, and we went pitch side and watched Owen's flag for the first time together, which was lovely and moving. And then a lady come down from the football club called Susan Black and explained to us that the owners would like to sit with us and talk about Owen's foundation. She's since got in touch with me today before we come on air, and trying to set up a meeting this week so we can go in and talk about Owen's foundation, which is great from the club.
Is all this helping you get through what is just an incredibly tough time?
Because I haven't got a minute to think.
There's a couple of ways that people could go in this sort of situation, isn't there?
Yeah, when we spoke about that from the offset, but the main thing was we promised Owen that we would do good. We promised him that, and we're sticking to them promises. And yet our choices was get on and live life the way Owen would have chosen us to, or sink into a hole, and we're not going there. Because it wouldn't do Owen's life any justice at all if we didn't do something good.
You talk to him when you're at the match?
Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. I shut my eyes on You'll Never Walk Alone and pretend he's right next to me. And I'll always do that. And I can always see his face.
And it'll bring tears to you.
You know. And it's always going to do that. But I had 11 wonderful years with him. And we crammed a lot in. And I'm thankful for that. But no, we'll never be forgotten now.
But what are the ways in which people can help, get involved, hear more about the foundation? Yeah, that's the important thing. We'll continue sort of promoting that throughout Radio City Sport and Radio City Talk as well.
People can help if they want to donate. I believe there's a Just Giving page going on to Owen's Foundation. So it's the Owen McVeigh Foundation, which you'll find on Facebook. And all the details will be on there by tonight, I'm told. So we're Just Giving page if you just want to donate. If you'd like to get a T-shirt, which obviously all the proceeds go to the foundation, you can get that through Michael at Hat Scarf Order Badge. And you can go through his website and it can be delivered anywhere in the world. You can also get it on match days at Michael's shop, which is in Anfield. Mm. On Wednesday, we'll be over in the cafe over the road from the Cop again, which are family friends called Georgie Porgies. So we're going to be doing it from there because the response has been wonderful. I just want to get the T-shirts out to people. And also, during the course of any day, really, we're going to be having in our work, which is TK Bedrooms in the factory showroom. And anyone can come in and collect at any time they want from Wednesday.
Yeah, you're such a lovely family. You know, Joanne, Mark, thank you very much for coming in and talking about what is such a touching subject, but as well something you've turned into such positivity. I don't think I'll ever go to Anfield and look at that flag in the same way now. It's an incredible story, and I hope within a year from now you've just built a lasting legacy.
Yeah, that's what we hope.
To Owen, that can help other families.
Yeah.
I don't know, how would you sort of, if you were just going to describe Owen in one line now?
Wonderful.
Lovely. Mark McVeigh, thank you very much for coming in. We'll put more details on our social media and websites about how you can get some of those T-shirts, how you can help as well with the foundation and, you know, the story of Owen McVeigh. Inspirational stuff. Thank you very much. Radio City Talk. Lovely.
That was brilliant. Thank you.
Enjoy that. Oh. So I'll put that out because it's